Kora and welcome to Kick Arts with Emma and Stephen, New Zealand's comprehensive art show brought to you on Planet FM 104.6 and streaming live around the globe thanks to our podcasts, which you can download from planetaudio.org.nz. Each week we bring you a variety of interviews and music from across the arts world, from theatre to books, events to exhibitions. We've got it covered. You can check out what's happening in your area at kickarts.org.nz. Tonight we chat with the festival director of the Going West Festival, along with two authors looking forward to being part of this wonderful event. The AJ Sound is back in the studio with more music and to check in on how his year has gone since we caught up with him just after lockdown last year. Plus, we've got the team from Stray Theatre here to chat about their latest show, A Shot in the Dark. To kick off the show, here is the fantastic sounds from Music Travel Love, featuring Felix Irwin with their take on I Don't Want to Miss a Thing.
I could stay awake just to hear you breathing, watch you smile while you are sleeping, while you're far away and dreaming. And I could spend my life in this sweet surrender. I could stay lost in this moment forever, and every moment spent with you is a moment I treasure. Oh yeah. I don't wanna close my eyes, I don't wanna fall asleep, cause I miss you, babe, and I don't wanna miss a thing. Cause even when I dream of you, the sweetest dream I never do, I still miss you, babe, and I don't wanna miss a thing. Lying close to you, feeling your heart beating, and I'm wondering what you're dreaming, wondering if it's me you're seeing. And then I kiss your eyes and thank God it's together. I just wanna stay with you in this moment forever, forever and ever.
Travel Love, Don't Want to Miss the Thing. Emma's singing already. It must be Sunday night. Had a good week, Emma?
It's been the second week of the holidays, so I suppose so, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, not bad. We tripped down to Dunedin.
Yeah, now what was that for?
Because one of my very good friends, Kane, who is a musician and a performer, was in That Bloody Woman down with Tyree Musical Theatre. So I went down to see opening night.
Can I be cheeky and ask how did Dunedin's That Bloody Woman compare to Auckland's just a few weeks ago?
They were different but the same.
Politically correct answer.
Yeah. It was really interesting though because Tyree was much more the rock concert, and whereas Auckland Music Theatre's, I would say, was much more a musical theatre feel.
Nice.
But they were both great. And I'll tell you what, Bree, who of course we've had here on the radio station, who performed here, and Anna, who played it down in Dunedin, man, those two, talk about powerhouse, both of them just rocked it big time.
That's so cool. And Dunedin's home, so what was it like?
It was nice being home, and it was lovely being back in the theatre that I grew up in to watch a show. It was a little bit kind of weird being in there and going, oh my goodness, I literally spent half my life in this theatre and I haven't been at a show in that theatre for 25 years.
Wow.
So it was really weird. Yeah, I know, people, I sound so young.
Yeah, I know.
How can you believe that it's been 25 years and I said half my life? I'm not 50 yet. Don't go there.
Brilliant, brilliant. Well, we've got a really interesting mix tonight in the room, and we start one of several weeks talking about the Going West Festival that is coming up, a major, and sort of they've moved and shaped it a little bit. So throughout the show, we're going to catch up with three different people.
Yep.
Emma's laughing at me, trying not to say literary festival and get it wrong.
Oh, no, I was more laughing at the move and shaked it, because I thought that you were a mover and a shaker, not a move and shaked. I think that's just quite a kind of putting it into a strange tense.
Right, it's been a long weekend of rehearsals.
Yeah, clearly.
Yeah, it's going to come out now. A very big welcome back to the AJ Sound, as we call him. A good evening. What do you like to go by?
The AJ Sound.
Brilliant.
In fact, my friends even call me that now. It's either the AJ or AJ Sound.
Nice, nice. And last time we chatted to you, I think, was June or July last year.
July, yeah.
So we're going to have some fun tonight unpacking where you've been and listening to some of your fabulous music.
It's awesome, yeah.
Yeah, and from Stray Theatre, a very big welcome to Joseph and Heidi joining us.
Hello.
Good evening. Welcome to the show. And actually, Joseph, I'm going to kick it off with you. Tell us a little bit, first of all, what is Stray Theatre for people who don't know?
Absolutely. So Stray Theatre Company is the University of Auckland theatre club, but they operate as like a proper studio, well, not studio, but it's like a theatre production company. And so they'll sort of help, you know, find aspiring young writers and young directors, uni students, and sort of help them find and put on shows.
Do they need to be in the arts to do this, or can it be anyone at uni that can get
absolutely
involved?
Absolutely anyone at all. Like, for instance, Heidi, you're in law, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of open to basically anyone who's sort of young and vaguely of university age. Like, I'm an AUT student, and I'm still, you know, able to jump over and peddle my works. So,
nice. So you're writer and director?
A writer and co-director. Yeah.
Okay, of A Shot in the Dark. What is A Shot in the Dark all about?
Yeah, so Shot in the Dark, it's a murder mystery slash coming-of-age story, sort of set in the late 70s, early 80s. And it's about this group of four young kids, think like sort of Stand By Me, Stephen King's It kind of thing. And one night, they witness a horrible murder. And they sort of discover no one in their hometown really seems to care, really wants to figure out what's going on. And so they sort of take it upon themselves to kind of unravel this mystery. But along the way, they sort of start to find out all these sort of uncomfortable little home truths and sort of make all these realizations about themselves, that maybe the situation is one that they don't want to be in necessarily. And so by the end of it, you end up with a play that's very different to how it started out.
Nice. What inspired you to write this? Dare I ask?
So one of my big inspirations for this one was sort of coming off of high school drama and remembering all those sort of like high school productions you'd do in class, where it'd be the sort of same bake setup. You'd get a bunch of high school age children and they'd be in a sticky situation, and there'd always be one like horrible, uncomfortably dark aspect of it that would just get breezed past in a joke. And my idea was, what if we took that like sort of uncomfortable dark aspect of it and really dug deep into it and sort of really tested this group of characters to see what would happen to them in that kind of situation? And sort of it spiraled from there.
And are you pleased with how it's developed?
100%. We've got this amazing cast Thanks, Heidi. And it's an amazing, amazing group of people we're working with. And it's really coming together into this show that's really... Yeah, I'm really excited for people to come along and see it.
That's cool. And Heidi, who do you play in this shot in the dark?
So I play Crystal. I'm one of the four kids who gets involved with trying to solve this murder mystery. And she's kind of like the group mum. She's quite sensible and is probably the most reluctant to take part in the enterprise of catching a killer. But, yeah, finds out some things about herself along the way.
And what's it like having a director who's also written the show? Is that an added pressure?
Well, Joseph's really nice about it. So he...
Right answer.
Yeah, so definitely we there's an added desire to do it justice when the writer is in the room and giving direction. But it's also such a big advantage because Joseph's able to tell us kind of what his vision is for each of the characters and each of the scenes. So, yeah, it gives us a lot of context to work with.
So Joseph said you're a law student.
I am.
How do you fit this or juggle this into what you're up to? Well, why is this important to still keep the arts alive?
It's a passion of mine, and I was worried initially starting law school that I wasn't going to have time for this for the arts anymore, but Stray has been wonderful in that it provides quite a lot of flexibility. It's not like a massive time commitment, so it's helped me to kind of have something aside from, you know, my academic work to keep me sane, and yeah, it's I've loved it.
That's cool. Joseph, where does Stray perform?
So sort of all over the place. The show we've got on Shot in the Dark, we're performing in Lot 23 in Eden Terrace.
Yep.
Which is 23 Mini Street.
Great little venue.
Yeah, it's lovely. It's cool because it's very modular, so we're able to really sort of customise the space. So we've got this really interesting, like, setup, and it gets quite involved with the audience, especially. We've got a lot of characters sort of moving through the audience. And you get this real feeling that you're kind of trapped in the space with these characters as everything's kind of unravelling around them.
Okay, cool. All right, we're going to unpack a little bit more about you and your own journeys in the arts throughout the show. But I'm going to cross over now back to Mr. AJ Sound. Tell us, what have you been up to since we last had you in the studio?
Oh, it's been a bit crazy. I came here last with the release of Promise, which was, I think it was my third single, and now I'm about 15 songs in a year later. And that's been a combination of like original singles and remixes. So I'm kind of here to talk about, you know, the whole remix game and the insights that I've collected over the year. We've got a small community of musicians here in Auckland, yeah. And singers and stuff. So it's really good to be able to share what you learn with everybody.
Because it seems odd, Emma, talking about a remix from someone who's so young and has come in here with something, so, and we're already remixing music. Mm. So tell us... Why? What's it all about?
Maybe he's not as young as he looks.
Oh, yeah, true.
Maybe
true.
It's just that he's extremely youthful looking.
How old do you think I am?
Well, I'm scared now to say.
No, just say it.
I'm going 25.
Close? Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe more upwards towards my 27, 28.
Closer. Oh. Yeah. I'm actually 31.
So see, I told you he was youthful because I wouldn't have thought he was in his 30s. Well, you're carrying it well, sweetheart.
I appreciate that.
I'm sure this is riveting for our listeners. So remixes, tell us.
Remixes.
What have you been doing?
So I've kind of started working with people overseas, and there's a bunch of independent labels in Europe. And Europe's massive, as you know, for festivals and things like that, which have been on pause. But now it's slowly coming back out. And as a result, everyone's wanting remixes. Everyone's wanting doof doof bangers that play really well at festivals.
Oh, I like that. Doof, doof, banger.
Mm. Doof, doof, banger.
Okay,
yeah. Yep.
Doof, doof, banger.
Yeah. So, you know, that's the best part about it. It's like there's so much demand for remixes right now. And, you know, original music's awesome. It's really fun. It's really creative. It really gets the juices flowing. But I think remixes are just something that there's a lot of, you know, it's just a great opportunity right now. This is the moment. So... just wanted to share that, you know, there is other ways to get out there now.
Nice. So for listeners that don't recall you from June last year, tell us a little bit about you and how you got into music.
So my name's the AJ Sound. For those that don't know me, I started my journey in 2012. slightly before that I was DJing, but, you know, I picked up the guitar in around 2012, started doing covers on YouTube, started working with some friends on YouTube, and that's, it kind of grew from there. Like, it just became a passion. My dad had been trying to get me to play the guitar since I was 8, failed miserably, but then this girl that I was with at the time got me into it, and so it started from there. 8 years later, just started writing my own songs, and another friend of mine, Taranum, actually really pushed me towards doing that, and she was my manager for all of last year, just a close friend, and both of us kind of knew nothing about the music industry, but it's just grown from there, really. Yeah.
That's cool. And so how many singles did you say now?
I don't even know. Like, I think 15.
That's cool. So you're ready for the massive album explosions?
I've done an album, actually. I did an album last year, but it was kind of like it started off as a collaborations project. It started off in about November, December, and it was really like 3 or 4 songs with 4 different friends of mine that were in the industry and lived close to me. And so it kind of grew from there, and then it became, I suddenly had 8 or 9 songs with friends, and I just went, they all fit together quite well, and it's retro, and so I turned it into a bit of an album and released it early this year. So yeah,
cool.
It's just interesting.
Where do you get your inspiration from for writing music?
I think everywhere. I really like Ed Sheeran as an artist, so, you know, obviously the idols that I look up to, I really look up to them for the inspiration as well, and just the work ethic that they have behind the scenes, just looking at the behind the scenes, like YouTube footage and interviews, and it's just that passion. So that's one place, and then obviously just, we're in New Zealand, like you look around you and there's inspiration everywhere.
Yeah.
So it's a nice place to be, actually, to you know, anything creative is just the perfect environment for it.
We've had, you know, a large number of fabulous new artists on the scene come in the last year. How do you place yourself out in this busy market? How do you get heard? What makes you stand out in this crowd?
So it's interesting. Like, I guess there's a couple of things that I wanted to talk about, and maybe this is the perfect segue into this thing. I call it this concept of soul food versus exposure ticket.
Right.
And what that is like every artist has their soul food, right? It's the stuff you like to do that really feeds the soul. pretty easy to remember. But the key thing is, like, you need an exposure ticket. And there are ways to do that. Like, for example, TikTok. But I hated TikTok. So when people used to tell me, like, you have to do TikTok, I was getting anxious. I'm like, no, I don't want to do TikTok. But I ended up finding my exposure ticket, which is something else I like doing, but it's not my primary kind of soul food, and that's the remixes.
Right.
And so what I would really encourage every artist out there is find your exposure ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And there's many ways to do it. Maybe later in the show I can give them a little bit of a secret that I've been doing. It's kind of stalking, but I'll share the secrets.
All right, I'll make a note of that. But did you end
learn how to stalk?
Yeah, did you end up on TikTok?
No, I did, but it never really took off for me. But funny that, like, it's funny because I think the listeners, viewers, and stuff, they see the passion in you. And I just didn't have the passion for TikTok, so they probably saw that. They're like, oh, this guy's just doing it to try and get famous now.
Fair enough. All right, we'll catch up with you again shortly.
Awesome.
And we're going to take a listen to your music throughout the night. No pressure, like playing while we're all here listening, but looking forward to it. And I want to bring in here and welcome James Littlewood, who is the festival director for the Going West Festival. Welcome to the show, James.
Kia ora te whanau.
And tell us, for audience listening, what is Going West all about?
Well, Going West is the longest standing independent literary festival in Aotearoa. We began in 1995, and we've been bringing people together to celebrate stories of all sorts since that time. That's it in a nutshell. But I guess this year we're looking at something a little bit different. Last year being what it was, we cancelled our live festival and diverted all of that resource into podcasts, a suite of original commissions and poetry videos. And also we've got a couple of short documentaries coming up. which are really exciting. What I've seen of those is just, they're portraits, basically, short video portraits. One of Nathan Joe, National Slam Champion, made by Oriental Maidens, and also Kathleen Winter in Wellington's making one about the poet Freya Daly Sadgrove. And we commissioned them as portraits precisely because that's... a portrait is a subjective thing, and it tells you as much about the artist as it does about the subject. Anyway, so this year we're back and we're live.
Which, nice.
Yeah, we're thrilled about. Not just over one weekend, but I'm looking at it all spread out before me here. We're on four Saturday nights.
Yeah, and that's a little different, isn't it, to the past, totally to have different. It spread out. I mean, when you your team made contact about coming on and said, oh, actually, we can spread it out over several weeks, I thought that's quite a shift.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting what you come up with in a pandemic, I guess. Creative New Zealand issued an edict that everything had to be COVID-proof, so we thought, oh, what's that going to look like? Like, if we cancel on a Thursday... We're sort of stuffed. So, like, we could, there's a place for squeezing your heart and soul down a fibre optic cable from your living room. It's not going west. It's a great thing that happens, you know, but it didn't work for us. So, by going up 1 month apart, August, September, October, November, on the second Saturday of each of those months, it just gives us a lot of flexibility, really. And also, it's all at night time, so it's got a slightly higher bar in terms of production values. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Tell us what's coming up in this first sort of series.
Okay, so the coming up first thing is on or 14th of August, we have our gala. And in fact, this is the one thing we've changed the least, really. It's a good format. I've always called it Auckland's best date night. it's a good smorgasbord of culture, really. So we always have a Kurno poetry reader. Kurno was in our neighbourhood, Alan Kurno, the famous New Zealand poet, so we honour him. And this year we have two poetry readings, Darren Kamali and Carlo Mila. Darren's a Fijian writer who's and a librarian in Auckland.
And joining us on the phone in about 10 minutes' time.
Oh, fantastic. Well, he'll be able to tell you more about his work than I can, but it's very powerful. It goes very much to his roots in a little village in Fiji, and boy, it really takes you into that location with a great deal of intimacy and power. Carlo Mila, a Tongan-based poet. Tamaki Makaurau based but Tongan origins, and her poetry is a fabulous mix of really gutsy personal experience with a political angle on all of it. So she's very vocal during Ihumato was when I discovered her work, and we're absolutely thrilled to have her. A different kind of writer altogether coming to join us on our gala is Simon Wilson, who's a writer for the Herald and was with the spin-off before that and edited Metro magazine for a long time. He's incredibly strong on all sorts of things, including Auckland issues, but also wider cultural things as well. So he's going to address our theme, and our theme is Stranded in Paradise. We always have a theme, and we're sort of kicking around what is this? What do we want to say about New Zealand Aotearoa at the moment? And this phrase, we've actually stolen it from a book by a guy called John Dix, and he wrote a famous book about New Zealand rock music in the 1980s. Oh, he updated it since then as well. So we're very grateful to John. John, if you're out there listening, we'd love to have you there. And it's a phrase, stranded in paradise, that seems to speak to this time we're in. You know, the world is in many ways still stranded. New Zealand is in many ways a paradise, as my colleague mentioned earlier. But then it also raises questions such as, well, is it really a paradise? Was it ever a paradise? Is it a paradise for everyone? And so he'll address that. And then to finish the night off, the musician Charlotte Yates with Julia Deans and their colleague Show Pony. Charlotte's had an amazing career, not just with her own work, but also making albums out of New Zealand poetry. She's recently toured one based on the writings of Catherine Mansfield, also Hone Tuwhare, also James K. Baxter, and one that I've forgotten, which is, anyway, so she's, for 20 years, she's been turning classic New Zealand poetry into song, and she and Julia Deans and Show Pony, I know they're going to do a fantastic job on the stage, and we're absolutely stoked to have that. And that's all at the Glen Eden Playhouse, yeah, which is a new venue for us.
Mm.
Beautiful, iconic Edwardian brick building there in the heart of West Auckland.
Because you lived at the Tiranga War Memorial Hall for a long time, too.
We've been there for a long time, and we love that place. But for one thing, you know, you come back from lockdown and everything's different, and it was booked on our dates.
Okay? Oh, right. So, Playhouse is great. It's comfortable. It's a nice space for people to enjoy an evening.
Not only that, but it's super close to public transport as well. So, yeah, it's a good place to get to. And we know that because of our online content with our video poems and our documentaries and our podcasts, we know we're reaching a lot of young Aucklanders that we weren't reaching earlier. So we're really happy to be closer to the train station for those guys.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. Joseph, as a new young writer in the room, I'm presuming that, have you written before Shot in the Dark?
I mean, I've been writing for ages, like ever since primary school, but my background's in sort of like short film writing and short story writing. So this is the first like proper like stage play, like theatre show I've ever written.
Because I'm listening to James and thinking, you know, is there aspirations with you to have your work published for others to produce, not just produce yourself?
100%, yeah. I mean, I feel like, you know, and I'm sure you can speak to this, is like one of the coolest parts about being, I guess, an artist is seeing how other people sort of, you know, interact with your work and getting to work with, like, other people and get other people's sort of input and perspective on it to try and make something that, you know, better than what you could come up with on your own.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I looked at him when I first saw him and I went, he's been writing since he was 6 or something.
It's the turtleneck, okay?
It is the turtleneck. It is the turtleneck.
All right, well, we're going to get Darren Camilli on the line to have a chat with very shortly. And a little later in the show, we have pre-recorded an interview with Glenn Harper, who's featuring in the second part of your festival, and we'll chat about that later. Mr. AJ The Sound, we are going to play one of your songs, though, as we go to a break. So we're going to kick it off with Lonely. What? A silly question, maybe, with the title, but I was going to say, what is this song all about?
So it's actually Justin Bieber's song, Lonely, and what he talks about a lot is about how, you know, celebrity and stardom and all this stuff, it seems very glamorous and cool, but it's actually a very lonely life. And, you know, I'm nowhere near Justin Bieber, but I've already felt that, like, so quickly because, you know, just a year on the scene, I feel like I'm drifting apart from my friends because it kind of becomes very, you get into kind of your own head a lot. And also, like, everyone's living normal lives and doing normal jobs and you're doing all this weird different stuff. And it's just very hard. It becomes very hard to relate to people. And, you know, you've got childhood friends and stuff and that is always going to hold you together. But I just felt myself kind of drifting apart. So that song really sunk in for me.
Mm. You're on an arts show, so everybody here doesn't know what normal is. All right,
yeah,
all
exactly.
Artists don't do normal.
Exactly, right?
It's so boring.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, let's have a listen. Here it is.
Awesome.
Lonely.
Everybody knows my name now, but something about it still feels strange. Like looking in the mirror, trying to steady yourself and seeing somebody else. And everything is not the same now. It feels like all our lives have changed. And maybe when I'm older it'll all come down, but it's killing me now. If you had it all, with nobody to go, or maybe then you'd know me. 'Cause I've had everything, but no one listening, and that's just fucking lonely. I'm so alone. Made of glass, and maybe that's the price you pay.
for the money and fame at an early age. And everybody saw me sad, and it felt like no one gave a shit. They criticized the things I did as an idiot kid. What if you had it all?
That is, of course, Lonely from the AJ Sound. Do you feel, you know, is it odd sitting in a studio hearing your own music? I love asking people this.
I think I'm starting to get used to it.
Nice, nice. Yeah. You should be proud. It's great sound.
We were all bopping along, I mean, it says something like that we're all getting our jiggy on.
Yeah,
I loved it. I loved seeing everyone's heads kind of bob. But I think it's, you guys probably just did it to be nice, eh?
No. We wouldn't play it if we didn't like it. Trust me. And it's awesome. All right. We're heading back to chatting more about the Going West Festival. And we have on the line Darren Camilli, who, as James just talked about, is a Pacific poet and senior Pacific curator at Auckland Libraries. His poetry books include Tales, Poems and Songs from the Underwater World, Squid Out of Water, The Evolution, and What Becomes of the Flying Squid. We're going to have to ask him about these squids. He's also released two albums, Story and Keep It Real, and he was the Fulbright Pacific Writer in Residence, lucky him, at the University of Hawaii, and attended the Pacific Arts Association Conference in Samoa 2017. He has held residences at the International Writers Program in the USA in 2014 and is part of the Going West Festival's Gala Night on Saturday the 14th of August. My goodness, Darren, that's an impressive CV. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me, Steve, and everybody who's listening.
Now, we're very curious on your squids. Squid Out of Water, Flying Squids. What's the story behind?
Sort of a trilogy kind of book, yeah, that I put out. But my latest one is called Burimango and Me, and that's really the book that I'm focusing on at the moment.
And what is it that attracts you to a lifetime of poetry?
I started back in, when was it, 1998. I started street poetry on K Road. And, I met with this reverend called Reverend Moore Strickson Poor, and he introduced me into writing poetry and to performing poetry. And that's when I started sort of being curious about what was happening. But before that, I was brought up in Fiji and then came here, and I was 17.
So New Zealand has very much become home, but you're drawing from your Pacific roots. Have you taken the poetry back home?
Yeah, definitely. I've done poetry and music back home. That's where it all started from anyway. And so my grandparents grew me up in the barracks up in Sambola North in Tumbo Street in Suva. 17 years there, and that's the reason that I've put up this latest compilation of Vunimango and Me, the mango tree collections of growing up there. And it's got 41 poems, memoir poems of growing up in Fiji before coming to Aotearoa when I was 17 in 1992.
That's so cool. I'm going to ask you this, but also James is in the studio, the festival director of Going West. How do we get younger generations hooked into poetry? You know, we've already talked tonight about, you know, social media and TikTok and all that. How do we hook people back into poetry?
Kia ora, Darren. James here. How are you doing?
Hey, James. What up, bro? I'm good, thanks. Yeah, that's a good question, Steve. I try to do workshops with a lot of school children if I can in my spare time, if I got some time, apart from my work up at the libraries. But yeah, it's mainly through, I guess, spoken word is the more common thing for young people nowadays. And in Auckland, you know, the word "the front line" has been going for a while, and that's through action education at Youthline. And I guess that's where it's going from now. When I was back then, back in the day, it was South Auckland Poets Collective that we founded back in 2008. And then now, yeah, these guys are just taking it on. So it's worth the front line, if, especially for our youth out there who wants to participate in poetry.
That's really thriving with a younger generation now, though, isn't it, Darren? You know, with those people, there's you know, finding a voice to articulate concerns. You know, the spoken word movement seems to be growing from strength to strength. I like also the way, Darren, you play with a musician, don't you, with a percussionist?
Yeah, so I'm trying to mix with sound and poetry and set some kind of ambience around my spoken word, my poetry and performances. I don't come from a slam and poetry background, but I do come from performance and music and musicality of it as well. So I try to mix it together, especially with the old and the new and the traditional and contemporary styles. And yeah, and just try to create things out of words and sounds.
I think at Going West also we like to explore the edges of narrative, and that's what I like about Darren, is that he's able to not only talk about his life experience through his poetry, but also with this rich form of doing it with music around the edges of it as well. Should also give Darren's book a plug here. It's extremely richly illustrated. That's another example of you know, I'm right, hey Darren, your new book is it's really colourful, and it doesn't look like a conventional poetry book at all. It's something much more lively. Yeah, yeah. Bully Mako and Me.
Yeah, no, it's different. I actually just wrote the poems and stuff, and then I sent it over to the publishers, and they were the ones who decided to try and get some photos in the book as well. So, yeah, I reached out to my family and my friends back home and around the world and trying to get some of those old photos from growing up in the 90s and 80s in Fiji as well. And and got what we got. And the cover page is done by Lenu Matewai, and he's from Suva, he's from Nandi, from Fiji. And it was awesome, the cover. I was happy with it.
And do you find that, it's Emma here, by the way, do you find that having a recognisable face helped when you set up your South Auckland Poetry Collective? You know, like sometimes a lot of people say that you need to be able to see your face in a place to want to belong. Do you think that being a Pacific Islander in South Auckland helps bring kids into wanting to know more?
Actually, I was called towards South Auckland. I've always been central. I first moved to New Zealand, I went to Wellington, and then I moved up to Auckland. But I've always been central until I moved to South Auckland when I had my second boy. And I stayed out there. I did my creative arts degree at the visual arts down there in Otara at the MIT Visual Arts School. And then I moved to Auckland. But we formed a group through Youthline as well. Back in the day, they were running an alternative education program for young Pacific Islander and Maori youth that didn't fit in well at school. So, we ran that poetry program for SPLO, and then that's how it developed out of that. We were just supposed to run it for like 10 months and then do the SPLO program, and that was it. But they wanted to continue, and we got funded by Creative New Zealand, and and then it's still running now by Action Education through Word the Front Line as well, and it's just come a long way, and it just happened. As I was called to do like workshops for the youth at that time. And yeah, that's how it happened to be.
That is fantastic. And now tell us about the gala. What can the audiences expect from you on the 14th of August?
The 14th of August, I'll be there. I'll be bringing some of my poetry, and especially, you know, what's happening in Fiji at the moment. So it's pretty emotional at the moment. But, yeah, I want to highlight a bit of my Boni Mango and Me and sound and poetry and bring what's the latest things that's coming from Darren Kamali and my poetry.
Yeah, that is brilliant. Awesome. Well, we wish you all the best with Going West Gala Evening on the 14th of August at the Glen Eden Playhouse. Tickets are available through iticket.co.nz. Darren, thanks for chatting to us. All the best for you and family back home, and we wish you well with the Going West Festival.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you very much, Steve and Anna. Thank you so much.
Brilliant. Thanks for your time tonight. Sounds like a great gala night in store for people.
Oh yeah, it really is. It's going to be beautiful. I also forgot to mention we've got Sandy Mill, West Auckland singer, soul singer, and DJ, who'll be linking everything together with Aotearoa Only Beats, and also Peter Ture, Ka Matua is our MC, and he's a fabulous storyteller. So yeah, it won't be so glitzy. It's going to be real.
Cool. Yeah, that's awesome. All right, and we'll chat a little bit later about your other event coming up where Glyn is involved in that one.
Awesome.
I'm curious, Joseph and Heidi, to now unpack a little bit about you as people. You've come in here tonight and talked briefly about A Shot in the Dark. What's been your own sort of theatre and arts background before heading to uni? What's got you hooked?
So for me, I started with singing when I was quite young. I was involved in school choirs and just like developed a passion for classical singing.
Yeah.
And from there, I just realised I really liked storytelling and started to kind of move into a little bit of theatre. Found Stray when I came to uni and have not looked back.
Nice. So did you do drama and things through school itself?
So I took drama classes at school, got involved in a few school shows as well.
Cool. And obviously, studying law, you've got a pretty serious path ahead, but do you see a place for the arts in your world?
Yeah, definitely. I don't think I could do without it. I would love to stay involved with theatre, singing, anything I can.
Why law? What sent you down that path? Although there's some drama to be had in law, you know, for sure.
I've always just really liked alongside arts and everything. I've always really liked reading and writing. So law just seemed like a natural pathway to go down to get to exercise those skills and fine-tune them, I guess. And once I realised that there were opportunities to keep arts going as well as kind of extracurricular activities, I thought it really worked for me.
Now, Joseph's going to block his ears for a minute, Heidi. What would be your ultimate role? If someone offered you a role tomorrow in a show, what would it be?
Cassette. In Les Mis, I would love to play that role.
Nice.
I'm not sure I could, but I would love to.
Okay, so you're a Les Mis fan.
Love Les Mis.
All right, we asked Heidi before the show for a song to play at the end of the night, and she's gone with Les Mis, so yes. There we go. Okay, cool. And Joseph, what's been your journey prior to writing this in uni? What you said from a young age you started writing, what hooked you all in?
Yeah, I mean, sort of like throughout primary school, I remember being a very like reluctant writer. And then I had a teacher once who was like, this isn't terrible. I was like, yeah, all right. And I sort of kept going from there. But for me, I think it's always been about like trying to find different ways of telling stories. Like I've got a bit of a, like a sort of short film and background prior to this.
Okay.
And someone mentioned to me that Stray Theatre was looking for like an original production. I sort of thought, you know, I've never written a stage show before. I've never really been properly involved in like in a big old theatre thing, and so I just wanted to try something new and sort of try, I guess, all the different kind of possibilities that having a live audience adds to it.
Because you, in your high school years, entered things like the Atom short film competition and the silent film competition. Oh, he's going, oh my goodness, she's done her homework, she knows something about
me. There was a bit of that for sure. But I mean, again, that's a different kind of storytelling. Like we did some sort of silent films kind of stuff, which is, you know, almost like the exact opposite of theatre. It's take away all the words and take away, you know, everything until you've got nothing but the pictures to work with. So yeah, it's, for me, it's just kind of trying to find interesting ways of challenging yourself to kind of draw an interesting story out of the ether.
Have you spent any time on stage or on camera yourself? Is that just not where you want to be?
To the eternal shame of every audience who's probably witnessed it, I have done a bit of acting here and there in high school. But yeah, no, I'm not much of an actor, to be honest.
What, for the shot in the dark, what do you want audiences to take away from the night?
Because I think at the heart of it, A Shot in the Dark is a character piece. It's sort of about exploring, you know, the flaws of the people in it and the flaws of kind of the environment that they're stuck dealing with. And so I think a lot of it is very self-reflective, you know. A lot of it is kind of looking at it and being like, because when I was writing it, a lot of it was me sort of thinking about, okay, well, what kind of things do I want to sort of look at and change and kind of understand? And so I'd love people to be able to come away with a bit of a thought of like, you know, maybe this is kind of how things might be like. Maybe this is kind of how people are sometimes forced to act, or this is how sometimes people respond to certain situations, you know?
Okay. Oh, interesting. I'm looking forward to it. That'll be something very different by the sounds of things, especially in that space.
Mm.
Yeah, it's a really... Have you been to that?
No, but we've had people on the show before, of course, talk about it, and the fact that it's a little bit smaller, so the intimacy
And it's this massive white cube, basically, that you can just play with.
100%, yeah. I mean, a lot of it is... You know, as the mystery sort of escalates, a lot of it is playing to this feeling, like I said earlier, of like being trapped in that space with these characters. And I think it's that part of it. You know, it's like when you walk out of that theatre having gone through this whole journey with these kids and watched them, you know, grow up over the course of, like, I guess a couple nights and, like, story time is it's quite... Because, you know, there's an aspect of horror to it as well, you know? There's an aspect of, like... really plumbing the depths of you know, what can happen.
Yeah. It's going to be cool. All right. Mr. AJ Sound, I'm throwing the mic back to you now. I'm curious, by one of the sort of conversations we had back and forth prior to today was about the questions you get from fans.
Yeah, I get some interesting questions.
So what have you been asked of late?
So there's two questions, and this has actually come from not a fan, but someone I've worked with before, so I don't actually know whether he's just kidding here, but I ended up getting, like, so many questions about how to, like, date people and how to make girls go crazy for you and how to make your crush fall in love, and I was like, what? But the good thing about that is all those things kind of lead really well into one of my biggest learnings of this year, is you just got to, like, there's a famous saying, it goes, you do you. because that's the thing. It's like, when I was in high school, I would do all these different things to try and impress people, or like fit in here or fit in there. But what I've just learned over time, and, you know, with getting older and experiencing things, is just be yourself and, like, just do your thing.
Yeah.
And do things you love and do things you're passionate about. And, you know, you'll find other people that kind of love the same things eventually, and you'll make friends like that. And you don't have to really try to be someone you're not. And I guess that's the biggest learning, because especially in the creative world, I feel like we're on this constant path to finding ourselves, because that's all, like, you're writing about your stories and you're just so reflective and inside your head and just trying to find yourself. So I guess that's the answer to the question. This came from Shivam, who's actually worked with Sophie Gibson, who comes on the show a lot, so it's a friend of mine. But, you know, he's a producer in India. He's awesome as well. But I don't know, mate, what are you thinking? Like, what kind of questions are these?
I
was just going to say, I think, though, as a creative person, because I love how positive you are. Like, you're so
the moment you arrived, yeah.
But I think as a creative, it's really easy to get stuck inside your mind, because we are always looking for that challenge and that creative output. But it's very easy to be very critical of yourself and compare yourself to other people. And I just love how you're just like, just be yourself. And it's like, it's really hard, though, to find yourself as a performer.
Absolutely.
I love that you're the age you are and you seem so this is who I am, take it or leave it.
Well, this is the problem, is I figured it out so late. I wish I figured this out earlier in life, and I probably would have done different things.
31, I mean, come on.
Yeah, no, so late.
So late.
I'm 31.
So late to figure out a fundamental. It's like a fundamental way to live, and you figure it out so late. It's like you've missed 30 years of your life, mate. Like,
James, does that make you feel really old that he's saying that he's figured out late and he's 30?
I guess so, but I'm so old I can hardly hear it.
Okay, that's all right then.
Yeah. Now, talk us through My Sunrise, and that's had a bit of a journey. Tell us about that, because we're going to play that in a second.
Yeah, so when I first came on the show, you guys would have heard this very slow version of this. It was called Promise. It was quite...
yes.
Yeah, it was quite... It's something that I just wrote as a love song.
And it was really beautiful.
Mm. Oh, I really appreciate that, because Ed Sheeran's a big idol of mine, and he comes up with the best love songs that end up at everyone's weddings. And I was like, all right, Ed, I'm taking you on. I'm pretty sure no wedding's played Promise yet. But, you know, it was a beautiful song, and it came from the heart. And I was at, like, I probably wrote it at a point where I was just starting to, you know, feel something for someone. And I will shout out to her at the end of the show. But, but yeah, like, I think that evolved because a label heard that, and the producer that I just talked about before, he heard that and he wanted to remix it, and then we remixed it, shot it off to the label, and they really liked it, and now there's a whole remix pack coming out. So what you're about to hear is My Sunrise, but it's not the original remix, if I can say that. It's actually another remix, but this time done by a guy called Sam Fran, who is a good friend and a producer of mine from Hamilton, who's now moved to Australia. The story is getting very confusing. Mm. But, you know, it's a remix of that original song, Promise, really. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Here it is.
Awesome.
My sunrise, you shine like the starry sky. Want you to kiss me? You opened my eyes so wide. Deep in the night, staring at you, the way that you shine, just like the moon. You are my sunrise. You shine like the starry sky. The day you said hi, a glimmer of hope. I cannot breathe, cause my heart makes me choke. Deep in the night, I remember your call. The way that you touch makes me forget it all. Tell me you love me. I can see you're killing me softly. With your love, I won't fear my nightmares. I'm all that you are unless you are my sunrise. Angels, they sing for that four-letter word. Demons, they feed broken promises heard. But we'll be alright. You're all that I see. Won't walk through the storm without you next to me. Tell me you love me. I can see you're killing me softly. With your love, I won't feel my nightmares. I'm all that you are unless you are my sunrise. Won't you to kiss me? You are my sunrise. Deep in the night, staring at you, the way that you shine, just like the moon. You are my sunrise. You shine like the starry sky.
Oh, that's so cool. And am I correct that that's a Kick Arts exclusive? We played that.
That's unreleased, so...
Unreleased.
I don't even have a release date yet from the label, so if they heard that we played it on radio, they'd probably kill me.
Oh, no, that's okay. It's quite safe. That's awesome. And we were just saying, you know, we enjoyed your original, but how cool is it to have people doing remixes of your work?
Oh, it's awesome. And, like, I've got this community of producers now that every song I do, they just want the vocals to try and remix it, which is great because it gives the song so much life. And like you guys said before, it's like I love hearing other people's interpretation of what you've written or what you originally had in mind, so it's really cool.
That's cool. Well, I hope you have some spare time this week because Emma's got a competition to tell you about and you've got time to enter it because you need to make some new music videos.
Yeah, so we've got a week left in our jingle competition. So Kick Arts, which of course is coming up 10 years old, is looking for a new jingle, intro, outro, to be written for us, 30 seconds to a minute long, and we want it sent to us play ready by the end of the month. And the winner not only gets to be our jingle, intro and outro, for ever and a day until we decide to change it again. But you also get a $3,500 music video package from Arise Creatives, who are sponsoring our award. So that package includes a music video, a photographic session, and a design for your music single from Richard O'Rise himself.
Yeah, fantastic competition. So, and support us. It's time for change. We'd love to have your ideas out there. Any age, send us in your intros, outros, or jingles.
Yeah.
Can you get international contestants?
Of course we can. Anyone's welcome.
Yes. Yeah. Awesome.
I mean, the music video might be a little bit harder from an international to be able to make one of them.
But they could gift it to someone in New Zealand.
But they could give it to someone, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Perfect.
Yeah. Brilliant. So email us if you need more information. We'll send you all the details out at info@kickarts.org.nz. Now, Emma, what was in our inbox this week?
So the New Zealand trio is set to embark on a second journey through the atmosphere in the Dramatic Skies series, bringing Cumulus to four centres from August the 22nd. Having spent much of 2021 collaborating with clarinetists, ballet dancers and pop musicians, Ashley Brown, cello, Amelia Hall on the violin and Somi Kin on the piano are excited to perform a full flight as a three-piece with this new program, which conveys the catharsis and hope, featuring a new commission from celebrated Kiwi composer Jenny McLeod. This is playing in Auckland, Wellington, Christchurch and Greymouth. So head to nztrio.com/event directory for more info.
And at a time when matters of life and death consume the headlines and our thoughts, Auckland Theatre Company is proud to present the illuminating Things That Matter. What does a healthy New Zealand look like? While working on the front lines at Middlemore Hospital, Dr. David Geller asked this in his best-selling memoir, Things That Matter, Stories of Life and Death. Adapted for the stage, award-winning playwright Gary Henderson masterfully weaves Geller's compassionate insight on the real and important stories of patients and the stark realities of the New Zealand healthcare system with stories of his life and that of his Jewish-Polish immigrant parents. Inspirational and life-affirming, Things That Matter shines a light on the importance of humanity and the challenging decisions that doctors, families and society face. We'll be chatting to the team from the show in a few weeks' time, but check out tickets available from the 17th to the 29th of August at atc.co.nz.
The New Zealand Dance Company present Nightlight, an evening of earthly contrast in Auckland, Whangarei, Christchurch this September. An ancient sequence of nature and the space between fiction and reality are brought to life in Nightlife, an evening of earthy contrast, to be presented in September. Tickets are on sale at www.nzdc.org.nz for this dynamic production.
Now here at Planet FM, we have a fundraising drive on and need your help. We're based on the grounds of Unitech on Carrington Road, and with the massive housing development about to start, we've had to look for a new home and are excited to announce that we've purchased a block with wonderful neighbours at Barfoot and Thompson, Mount Albert. Now thanks for the wonderful funding support we've had so far, we've been able to purchase our new home, but
do need your help with the fit-out. Planet FM will set the space up for five other fantastic not-for-profit organisations to join them, including the Red Cross, Aotearoa Resettled Community Coalition, Belong, Aotearoa, Asylum Seekers Support Trust and the Refugee Health and Wellbeing Trust. So to support, please head to planetfm.org.nz/donate.
And Auckland Theatre Company are proud to announce that sellout sensation Fleshies by local legend The Oddballs is back and reimagined by a diverse cast of brilliant young people from Tamaki Makaurau. Fleshies 2.0 is a celebratory call to action to teens, tweens and anyone who has ever battled with body insecurities. Tender stories devised by the cast and told with wild abandon, humour and a big dose of body positivity. So embrace the skin you're in and join them for this eclectic, electric show that empowers uniqueness. It's part of the Here and Now Festival, which is playing now until the 30th of July. And they've got, as well as Fleshies, of course, they've got Ying Yang. And we've got a double pass to give away to Fleshies 2.0 at the moment, Stephen.
Fantastic. What do they need to do to win that double pass? And it's on this week, so you need to be quick.
Yeah, so you've got until Tuesday lunchtime to tag who you would take along, either on our Facebook post or our Instagram post at kickarts.nz, and draw on at 12 o'clock on Tuesday to get a double pass to either Wednesday, Thursday or Friday night's Fleshies.
Fantastic. Head to Facebook or Instagram now. And if you have something to promote on the show or want to come on like these fabulous people in the studio tonight, send us an email at info@kickarts.org.nz. Now, James, I'm curious. We've sort of leaped straight into you tonight about going west, but tell us about you yourself. What's your background that makes you a festival director of such a cool festival?
God.
With that last name, I've got to ask, are you any relation to Mr. Chick?
Chick Littlewood. Not that I'm aware of, nor Joan Littlewood, who was a director at the Royal Shakespeare Company, great progressively minded female director there. No, I'm just me. I don't know. I'm a journeyman, really. I've directed a bunch of theatre. I've produced a bunch of short film. I did a corporate lag for a few years, which I ran from with my hair on fire. And not literally, Emma. Oh. Speaking figuratively.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
imagine that. That'd be weird.
And dangerous.
Yeah. So, and then one day I moved to Te Tirangi in West Auckland, and that was when amalgamation was going on, and, everything was sort of Auckland. And somehow I got onto the stage. I interviewed a couple of people for Going West. Mike Joy, the freshwater ecologist, and Marama Mudu Lanning, who wrote an incredible book about the Waikato River, drawing on her whakapapa and also, a political analysis. So from there I found myself... getting involved with Going West really helped me understand where I live, Te Tirangi in West Auckland. Up until that point, I'd been living in Te Tirangi, but my head was in Auckland. So getting my hands on local culture was a hugely sort of positive move in my life. So I sort of hung around long enough until they gave me a job, I guess. That was sort of how it worked. Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah. I love story, basically. I see myself as a storyteller.
Yeah. Yeah. And what a perfect event then to run.
I know. It's like
to bring it all out.
Story frenzy.
Now, tell us about Documented Reality. Now, this is taking place on the 11th of September.
Yeah. So, I don't know. There's four events, and from the gala we go to Documented Reality, and from there to Fabricated Reality, and from there to Shifting Ground. So I guess there's a sort of arc of sort of, from, you know, fact and fiction seem like such sort of tight, rigid kind of concepts. So that's the handle of it, is Documented Reality. We're still, working with the idea of Stranded in Paradise. And we've got a range of different storytellers joining us. Glyn Harper, you mentioned earlier, has got a new book out about images of New Zealanders in World War too. And Glyn's an expert in military history, and so we're thrilled to have, you know, someone who can stick to the facts, I guess, in a concept of documented reality. We've also got four great writers, Lana Lopesi, Charlotte Grimshaw, Alison Jones, and Ghazale Golbakhsh. And they're talking about, they're all great writers across multiple genres in there. There's novels, there's poetry, there's short story, and there's also memoir. So that session is called Portrait of the Artist as a Young Woman. Moving on from there, we've got Rebecca McPhee talking about Helen Kelly. She's written a biography of the great New Zealand champion of the union movement, Helen Kelly, so we're thrilled with that. Aya Puamon was in the Going West Slam. We had a slam for a long time. I'm slightly regretful to say we don't have a slam this year, but we do have Aya Puamon, and her friend Gamishka Chetty are going to curate a performance poetry event. And we're sad not to have the slam this year, but what we like about that is I'm kind of glad that we've got young performance poets doing their thing and getting paid for it without having to compete for each other and to compete for the prize. I like slams, but I also like getting away from the competition. Jack Cottrell and Mark Beer have both got books out dealing with rainbow issues. A Queer Existence is Mark Beer's book, and 10 Acceptable Acts of Arson by Jack Cottrell. So they'll be talking with Victor Roger, who we're stoked about. What else can... Leonard Bell's written a great book about the New Zealand photographer Marty Friedlander, and so we'll be covering that off as well with readings for that by. I've forgotten who's doing, so I'm not going to dwell on that.
A brilliant lineup.
What I do really want to say, though, is for these three events in September, October, November, for the first time ever, because we're no longer in Te Tirangi Hall, we're not in one room. Anyone who knows Te Tirangi would know Loptal House, a three, four-story heritage building in the middle of Te Tirangi that's had a weird past, but it's now a cultural precinct. And right next door to Loptal House is Te Uru Waitakere Contemporary Gallery, which is a regional contemporary art gallery, and we are taking over the entire precinct, two whole buildings, so there'll be tons of stuff happening at once, which is new for us, you know, and in a way it's a little bit sad because people are going to have to make choices, but also so there'll be at least two shows happening at once in the two main spaces in those two buildings, and there'll be pop-up stuff happening around the edges as well.
That's great.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, you spoke about Glyn Harper. We chatted to him earlier this week on a Zoom call. Apologies, there's a quick glitch at one point in there, but just for a few seconds. He's a really interesting interview. Here he is.
Well, thanks, Glyn, for joining us. And as we've heard tonight, all about the exciting Going West Festival coming up, you are part of their documented reality session taking place on Saturday, the 11th of September at Loptal House. So I hope you're excited, I should say, for this festival.
Yes, I'm really looking forward to it. It's not something I've had the opportunity to do before, and really any opportunity to get to speak to an audience about the writing you're doing is to be welcomed, and this will be different, I think, and I'm really looking forward to it.
That's cool, and it coincides beautifully with your book, The Front Line, coming out, which is New Zealand's war through the lens of those who serve. So tell our listeners a little bit about this special book.
Well, the book, which is coming out in August, is trying to look at New Zealand's history involving the Second World War. So it's New Zealand and the Second World War, but it's done primarily through photographs. And I did a similar book to this some years ago called Images of War about New Zealand and the First World War. And I always wanted to do the Second World War as well. So for the last few years, my wife and I have been scouring photographs that are held by various museums and also in private collections. We estimate that we looked at over 30,000 photographs, and we've sequenced what we think are about the best 800 or 900 of them to basically tell New Zealand's story in the Second World War.
That's mammoth. Where when you're going to look at 30,000 photographs, where are you looking and where are you finding these?
Primarily, I have to say, we're very fortunate in that the three service museums agreed to cooperate on this project and allow us access to their photographs. So, it's museum in Auckland at Devonport, so we went up to there. Series of photographs, and then did the same for the Army Museum in Wairu and the Air Force Museum in Christchurch. And then we looked at other museums, a couple of other museums, the Engineers Museum at Linton Military Camp, and also the archives at Palmerston North. But we also put out a general appeal for our photographs because we know that people have their own family albums and so forth. And we got over 20 people who responded and sent in their photographs to look at as well. So that's where they all came from. And we were spoiled for choice. We were very lucky with the images that were sent to us.
That's brilliant. Who do you think this book's going to appeal to most?
I think to a general audience and people who have a interest in the Second World War in New Zealand history, but I also think it's going to appeal strongly to those who have had family members involved in the Second World War, and that is many, many New Zealand families throughout New Zealand, and I think they will hone in on the areas that are of interest to them, but hopefully they'll look at other areas too that we've covered in the book. But I think a general audience and those who have a family connection to the Second World War.
Absolutely. Now, tell us a little bit about you, yourself. You're a professor of war studies at Massey University in Palmerston North. This is not your first venture into creating a book. Tell us a little bit about Glenn Harper.
Well, I am a professor at Massey University at the moment, but that's about my fourth career change. I actually started as working in a bank when the post office used to have a savings bank. But I've been a high school teacher. I've been an army officer in both Australian Army and the New Zealand Army. But for the last 20-odd years, I've been at Massey, where I teach primarily New Zealand military history. I have done a number of books, largely focusing on the First World War, but I've also written on the Second World War and on New Zealand Gallantry Awards. And the other thing that I do too is I also write books for children, and I've done at last count about 13 books for children too.
That's quite a contrast.
Yeah, it is. The children's books are military history orientated, New Zealand military history orientated, but done in such a way as to try and engage young people in their nation's history and to try and explain some complex events, like, for example, the campaign at Gallipoli. I mean, how do you explain Gallipoli to a child under the age of 10? It's very difficult. But I tried to do that in a book called Jim's Letters, which I think was reasonably successful. And I'm always spoilt with the illustrators that I've been paired with. I was paired with the wonderful Jenny Cooper, who really brought that story to life. But as I say, I've done 13 books like that, including one on the Vietnam War, which was also a tricky subject to deal with.
And you've kind of prefaced my next question, which was, literally to ask, how do we get this next generation to still understand this important part of our history?
It's a really good question, and I'm not sure I have the exact answer, but I think I'll preface a couple of things. I think it's absolutely critical that we get students engaged with their own nation's history so they have a sense of who they are, where they've come from, and so forth. And I think one way to do that is to encourage reading at a young age. But if they're going to read at a young age, we need to offer them stories that they can engage with and that they can see parts of themselves in it. And that's what I've tried to do with these stories, and I'm not the only one doing it. I think we have some wonderful children's authors in New Zealand, and we need to support them and promote what they're doing as much as possible.
Absolutely. Now, finally, talk us through the Going West documented reality session that you're running on the 11th of September. What can we expect if we see you there? What's this night all about?
Well, to be honest, I haven't had a briefing on it, but what I'm expecting
but
is...
But you're turning up. You're on your way. It's all good.
I am, yeah. Well, I'm turning up, and I know I'm part of a large panel, and it's looking at war and conflict, and there are all types of angles. There are people will be talking about conscientious objectors, people talking about war experience and so forth. And I will be part of that and adding to it. What my exact role is, I'm not certain, but I'll go prepared to talk about writing and writing history and military history and why that's important and why I do it. So as I say, I'm looking forward to it. It's a new experience for me, but when you get an opportunity to talk about the books that you do, you know, it's something to be welcomed, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Absolutely. And is there another book on the horizon? Have you already started working on the next masterpiece?
I haven't started. I'm thinking about it. I've got two options which I need to talk to my publisher about and see whether or not they'd be interested. Something I'm really keen to do is I haven't had a children's book published since 2019, which I know is not that long ago, but I do like to. I really enjoy it, and I do think I need to go back and focus on that. And I'd like to come up with a couple more children's books in the next few years. But I do have some other ideas for adult books too. Unfortunately, time is not something we have a lot of at the moment, but full of ideas, just need to find the time and obviously the energy to make it happen.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Glenn. And we've pinched Glenn from the classroom today to pre-record this interview. If you want to find out more about his books, head to massypress.ac.nz. And for the Going West Festival event, head to itickets.co.nz.
He was a great guy to talk to, James. It's going to be a really good night.
I'm looking forward to that a lot,
Yeah. And in a few weeks' time, we've got some more guests from Going West coming in to sort of talk about that second half of your journey. Is there a specific thing you're looking forward to most?
Oh, well, like...
Is that cruel to ask a festival director that question?
All of it. I'm going to put my own organisation first, I guess. We have these, as I said earlier, we've produced a bunch of video content. There's five video poems. Poets like Hera Lindsay Bird, Alan Curnow, Murray Edmund, Siri Barford. I seem to be forgetting everything. Who have I forgotten? Can't remember. And we've also got these two documentaries coming up. So I'm looking forward to Fabricated Reality in 9th of October for all of those. And also in September, Documented Reality, which I was talking about earlier, we've got the book launch of our first ever book. Something else we did during lockdown. We produced a book. Woo! 25 years, Voices of Aotearoa, 25 years of Going West oratory. Going West has been doing this longer than just about anyone in the country. Dunedin had a festival at the same time we did, and the Wellington Arts Festival had a lit program at the same time we did. But they're an arts festival. They're big. So we used to get people on a train, literally, and go west, sort of recreating Maurice G's novel, Going West, which goes through the western suburbs of Auckland. And so, you know, we've got... Every year we've had a keynote orator, and so putting that into one beautiful art volume is just, it's a beautiful looking book, and we've done that with Oratia Media. We're very happy with their support as a publisher, so that's the Going West stuff. I suppose someone else who we're really excited to have is Charlotte Grimshaw, who wrote an absolutely flaming hot memoir this year, and she's a contemporary of mine, and I really identified a lot with what she had to say, you know, really exploding her family of origin dynamic. I could relate to that really personally, and I think anyone who looks at that book, anyone who's got a family will relate to that. And so having her talking about that with Paula Morris is just that's going to be fantastic.
Brilliant. I wish we were on TV and people could see your enthusiasm, because that sells it as it is. Head to Going West Fest, fest.co.nz for all the information, and tickets at iticket.co.nz. Speaking of tickets, Joseph, so just over a week to go till you guys open. So where's the show at the moment? Are you getting ready for dress rehearsals?
We're in a pretty good place right now. I'm super happy with it. I mean, Heidi, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I think we're getting there. We've done a few full runs, so getting close.
For sure, yeah.
That was convincing.
we're active, Steve, right? So, I mean, if people want to come along, see it, and please do. So we open on Wednesday the 4th of August, and we're doing a season until Saturday the 7th of August. So we're doing four evening showings, starting at 7 p.m. But if you can't make those, of course, we're doing a 2 p.m. matinee show on the Saturday. So tickets are available at bit.ly/ASITD tickets. Or if you just have a look at Stray Theatre, that's Stray as an STARY, like a cat or dog, then you can find tickets on their Instagram or their Facebook page.
Have we got that link up, Emma, for people to find rather than bit.ly? That was...
Can I just say, if you go onto our events listing at Kick Arts Events, you will see the listing for A Shot in the Dark.
Fantastic. Now, Joseph, are the cafe, is that open pre-show out the front? Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't.
Yeah, no, I believe it will be.
Because so there's a good food you can have there and some pretty amazing dessert. So
grab a drink, grab something to eat and come along and enjoy the show.
Brilliant. Heidi, what are you hoping audiences will take away from a performing point of view?
From a performing point of view? Oh, I'm hoping a sense of surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you could write your own review, what's the opening line of the review going to say?
Oh, goodness. Wow, that's a tough one.
Literally the best show ever written by...
Okay, right.
Incredibly tough.
And Joseph, if you're standing up on stage in 15 years' time at the Tony Awards, receiving your first Tony for writing this amazing production, or one yet to come, who are you going to thank? Who's been your inspiration in these journeys?
I mean, it's a bit of a sappy answer, but I really want to thank the team we've got working on the show right now. And no, honestly, I mean, you know, like, we've got an incredible cast of unbelievably talented people who are just bringing so much passion and so much life to it. And our producers and all of our, like, crew working behind the scenes to make sure we've got sound and light and costume and a set are working so hard. If I had to name one person in particular, it'd have to be my co-director, Tasman Clark, who couldn't be with us this evening because he's in another show right now. But I've just learned so much from that guy about, like, theatre, and he's a huge inspiration right now in terms of, like, you know, learning how to direct a completely unfamiliar medium. Mm. But yeah, no, it's a huge shout out to our team and to our cast. You guys are amazing.
Fantastic. Well, we look forward to supporting you on opening night and seeing that journey. Head to our website for the details. And AJ, the sound, if I come back to you earlier in the evening, you said something about a secret stalking that you were going to allude to filling us into.
Yeah, so I think this kind of leads back into the whole finding your way to get exposure. That sounds really bad now that I've said the word exposure alongside stalking.
Yeah.
But really, like, what I did, so it's just looking for creative ways to advertise yourself. So I stood outside MediaWorks for a few hours every day for a few weeks, took down the number plates of the Ubers and taxis that came by, and then I hit them up with my songs and paid them to play my songs on repeat. So I'm secretly brainwashing MediaWorks, because every time they get into a taxi or an Uber, they're listening to my songs.
That is brilliant. That is really different.
And if they ask them to change the songs, go for it. But, you know, one day...
Another one of yours is
going to
come up. Just give them the whole
run. You know, but I think the message there is, I think we got to find weird and interesting and different ways to do things now, because everything is saturated. Like, everything everywhere is just up to here. And so you're not going to get anything from TikTok. You're not going to get anything from, you know, Instagram adverts. You're not going to get, like, organic reach from any of your socials anymore, because there's just so much happening and everyone's, like, creative now. So I think you got to find interesting and weird ways to get yourself out there. So for me, that was dance remixes and other things like stalking
for and you, Uber drivers. That's brilliant.
For you, it might be something else, but I think that's...
Well, I'm just wondering, Emma, if we need to, you know, we've often talked about how we get more arts funding and things. Do we need to stalk and have our show on repeat every time the arts minister gets into her car?
Maybe that is a good way to do it.
Yeah, very cool. Just going to play in the background while we keep chatting, and that's your song Lemonade.
Yeah.
What's this one all about?
Well, this is just a bit of fun, actually. It's actually quite a dark and sad song if you listen to the lyrics, but it's by Don Toliver, Nav, and I forget the third guy, but it was released by Internet Money Records.
Right.
And so this is the one where there's a guy called Jose in Portugal who is a big producer, and he goes by the artist's name of Tom Enzi. And he actually heard my cover, which was a community video that I did during lockdown with my friends and things like that. And he saw that and he said, "Can you do an official release of this?" And so I gave him my vocals, and then Nick Minute, he sends me that. And it's just, wow, like this is the... I've never heard my voice.
Ah, that's cool. Let's just have a listen for a few seconds. Of course, I picked the instrumental, didn't I?
Best part. But I guess, yeah, like the... And a big shout out to... I might as well take this opportunity to kind of shout out to some people that have, you know, helped me along the way. So Tom Enzi has been amazing. He's like my industry mentor now, big brother. And he's always helping, and he doesn't need to, he's big, but he's still putting in the time to message me every day and kind of listen to my things and go, you know, give me feedback. So big shout out to Tom Enzi. Minichelle, my girlfriend, she's just been super supportive. Not easy being a girlfriend of a creative, but, you know, she's done really well, especially because I write a lot about heartbreak, so probably breaks her heart. But, you know, she's just been through it all, and she's a champ. So, yeah, big shout out. And then, obviously, family and friends. Family who's listening right now and texting me saying, oh, you said that really well. Oh, this show is going well.
Oh, hi, family.
Hi, family.
No, that's so cool. And you do need family support, especially to get things off the ground. Sure. Where can people head to hear your music? Where can they track you down? I mean, obviously, YouTube. I've seen quite a bit popping up on there.
Yeah, where else? I think the easiest is if you're on Facebook, you can search The AJ Sound. So it's basically THE AJ Sound, one word. But like the easiest way is obviously my website, theajsound.com. But if you Google that name, or you go on Facebook or Instagram, the handle's the same everywhere. So hopefully it's not too hard to find.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Always a pleasure having you on the show. Thanks so much for coming back and connecting again. Keep coming, keep bringing out the music.
100%. And thank you so much. I really appreciate this show. And if you guys are listening, donate, because this is an awesome show. Arts is really important, and we can't lose that here in New Zealand. So.
Yeah,
thank you.
Appreciate that.
Now, where he says donate, because he's just segued
that. He's checked out our website.
On our website, we do have a support us page where you can donate, because for those, you know, this is a voluntary thing for Stephen and I. We pay a broadcasting fee personally to have this show go on air, and we want to keep the arts alive. But, you know, we're also humans who have bills, so we love people who want to support us in a philanthropic kind of a way.
Yeah, so head to kickarts.org.nz. Hey, team, thanks for being such a fabulous team in the studio on a Sunday night. Good luck with your music. Good luck with the show. Can't wait to see it. And Going West, good luck with a very big season. It's going to be awesome.
Kia ora.
And we look forward to chatting to a few more guests about that in coming weeks.
Awesome.
Emma, we want to make sure people are checking out that competition this week for our music jingle. Getting that up.
Yeah, definitely. It closes at the end of the week. Give us an intro and outro and become the new sound of Kick Arts.
Do not want to miss out on a prize package like that.
No, definitely not.
Absolutely. Going to any shows this week?
I feel I am.
Yeah, mine's a bit quieter this week.
I really feel like I should know what I'm doing.
It's very busy couple of weeks ahead.
Life is like crazy, crazy coming up. I'm just checking my diary now. You've got me thinking, what have I forgotten about? Oh my God.
Where should I be?
In the dark. That one sounds really interesting, but I'm like... I'm not as intelligent with this art stuff. Like, I'm just like one of those like pop guys that just groove. So.
Just go and enjoy. Good theatre, just go and enjoy.
Exactly.
I am going to the opening night on Friday night of Complete Works of Shakespeare Abridged at Manor House.
With me, yes.
With you.
Fabulous.
That's right. You're my date. I just remembered.
See you there.
And then on the 31st, it's the NSPA Theatre Awards that Sophia came on and talked to us about months and months ago. So that's Musical Theatre Awards out in Orewa, and that's happening all day Saturday.
Fantastic. All right, it's time to call it a night. We're going out with Heidi's choice of song tonight, and that is One Day More from the Fabulous Lamas. Have an awesome week, and make sure you...
cook some arts.
One day more, another day, another destiny, this never-ending road to Calvary. These men who seem to know my crime will surely come a second time. One day more.
I did not live until today. How can I live when we are parted?
One day more.
Tomorrow you'll be worlds away. My place is here.